Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas of the Los Angeles Lakers. Dropped his first video today. Dude, we're so damn proud of you. That had to feel pretty cool, though, seeing that go up and everything. What was that like?
Oh, man, it's just... Yeah, you never... It's surreal, obviously. You know, it's just surreal. It's... I want to... I know that, like, I'm... It makes me want to, like, do more continuing education. That's been something that has been bothering me over the last 6 months or so, is that, like, I ain't been on an actual court in a minute. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be making these videos for the freaking Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. That are, like, a lot, generally based on, this is how basketball works, right?
Yeah.
And so I need to get on my shit on making sure that I'm, you know, up with the times and not, you know, not way behind and just saying the same thing for 30 years, you know?
I kind of want to exist in a world, though, where you drop these videos and, like, Frank Vogel gives you shit for, like, a concept that you say, you know what I mean? Like, or in this case, because you talked about Alex Caruso and LeBron James, right? So, like, it'd be great if LeBron is like, it's really not that big a deal, Pete. Like, I promise. We just get along. It's cool.
Yeah, no, I'm wondering, you know, if there's going to be a time, and I don't know. I think if I'm true to the basketball, the more true to basketball I can be, the more honest I can be, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the more you start criticizing a player and saying, this guy is blank, right? But you can say you shouldn't leave your feet when you attack a closeout, because right. And then the offensive player will attack the top foot and all that. And that's like, hey, that's how basketball works. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can say that. And I think that the game needs more of that, right? Like, I'm tired of hearing, like, just opinions and like, let's talk basketball.
Boy,
let's
talk about wrong show little for things. You. That, I hate to inform you, Pete. I don't know if you're new around here.
But yeah, how do we end up together, you and I?
Some kind of a fever dream. I think some water shots were involved. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
but yeah, no, I agree with you, though. I think as long as you keep it to the objective stuff, you know, not being a homer, but I mean literal objective fast basketball facts, right? Like, you're talking about principles, concepts, you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, every so often you can dip into, like today, like you talked about Caruso and LeBron. Some of that is going to be theoretical, right? Mm-hmm. Some of it is, like, it's impossible to avoid that stuff. But it, so long as you stick mostly to objective stuff, there's not even, mm-hmm. even when you have those interactions with players, even if you do criticize on occasion, whether it's a Laker or a player from a different team, if it's objective, there's nothing that can really be said about it.
I mean, part of it too is, like, as a basketball player, a lot of them have been with coaches and different people, trainers and people saying, mm-hmm. no, you should do it this way. Right. And, like, so they're not like super sensitive. If you're talking basketball, like, you know, of course they always have that, like, I'm an NBA player and you are not, and never will be hammered to put down as they should, because there are some things, like, that's why I have to stay on the continuing education, right? Because, like, no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be a former player, I'm never mm-hmm. going to be a current player, right? There's certain knowledge of the game on what it feels like to get cracked in the ribs by a screen going full speed in the NBA. I'm never going to know what that's like, and hundreds of other experiences that they know not just how it feels like, but they know what it you know, what it takes to go over the top, just like little things that I can only view from afar. But that's why I need to be especially good on the theoretical aspects of the game, because if I'm going to be telling the stories of the Lakers and the stories of the basketball of the Lakers, then I have to be really good at that, because I'm never going to be those other things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're ever looking for, you know, experiences and stuff, you can always talk to me.
Okay, I
can walk you through, you know, the various.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Maybe that's why we work together. Yeah,
that's what I'm here for. You know, that's basically what I'm here for. Today's show, we are not going to. We are going. So yesterday's show, we talked about the Lakers and some of the things that we learned from scrimmages and some of the you know, the new concepts that we've learned to this point and whatever. Now we're going to talk about other teams. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business having served customers now for 20 years. For 20 years, people online have been able to find whatever part it is that they need. They have been able to find those parts at the absolute best price that you can. And anybody who has been finding those parts for those great prices, those prices have been available to everybody, regardless of what kind of background that they have. It's what makes it so annoying, right? When in any circumstance, right, that somebody might have access to a different price than you is a little annoying, especially given this kind of circumstance that we're all in, where everybody is trying to be as fiscally responsible as possible. And if you need to get from A to B and your car doesn't allow you to do that, it's great to know that Rock Auto is there to help make that happen for a great price, whether you're an enthusiast when it comes to fixing up your car, customizing your car, whatever, or just somebody who needs one part and needs to put that part in their car and be able to get back on the road. Rock Auto is going to have everybody covered and treated the exact same. So head on over again to rockauto.com, check out everything that they have available, then write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. Rock Auto has amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. So, you know, obviously the idea of learning anything about other teams over the last, it's one thing for us to like, all right, this is what we learned from three scrimmages from the Lakers, because we've been paying attention, close attention to them from start to finish, right? And so the idea of learning anything about another team that we haven't been paying that same attention to over these last three games, there isn't really much we can glean there, you know? Mm-hmm. But like on a general scale, I think we have a decent understanding of the various opponents the Lakers might be facing. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the standings as they're set right now and look at some of the matchups that concern us, some matchups that we might rather have over the, you know, as things might get reseeded over the next eight games that everybody's going to be playing. So obviously Bucks, Clippers, we don't have to bring those teams up because we've talked endlessly about those guys. Mm-hmm. And we'll eventually talk endlessly about them should the Lakers face either of them, either in the conference or finals, right? So let's start with the team that the Lakers, if things were to end right now, would be facing, would be the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask you this one question. We'll throw to break. Is there a team in that kind of other bubble teams that you would rather play that, or where do the Memphis Grizzlies rank in that like collection of four or five teams of, you know, where do they rank in terms of who you would rather the Lakers face in that first round? So if you look right now, it doesn't look like Dallas is going to slip all the way down to the eighth spot. It's mm-hmm. It'd be a substantial slide for them to fall that far down. And then the same can be said about all the teams from higher up in the standings. So the teams that you're looking at right now are the Memphis Grizzlies, the Portland Trail Blazers, the New Orleans Pelicans, Sacramento Kings, San Antonio Spurs, and Phoenix Suns. Where would you put the Grizzlies in terms of the team that you would most want to face or least want to face between the rest of those four or five other teams?
I'll do it from the perspective of least want to face. They're the third least team I'd want to face, okay, right? They're, I don't think they could beat the Lakers in a seven-game series, but they're extraordinarily fun. I don't know if you've caught any of their games, but the secret to why they're so fun, aside from Ja Morant is freaking awesome and Brandon Clark's fun. Like, they've got fun individual players. They pass the hell out of the ball. They're great passers in transition in particular. So they'll have these really brilliant fast breaks where it's like four passes and the ball never touches the ground. And, mm-hmm. That aren't always
crazy, like, for such a young team, by the way.
Right. Cause it's not always or even usually like long hit aheads. It's not LeBron style, Lonzo style. It's like ping, 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 and then it's like laid up in, you know, up in the air for one of their crazy athletes to, just the ball just popping around like that. They're a lot of fun. They're gonna be good for a long time. I really like their core, but I'd say they're third of the least I'd want to face.
So I'm going to go ahead and guess then the teams that you want, you have ahead of them in terms of least wanting to face. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing we've talked about the Blazers, so it's kind of cheating, but I think they're above them, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the Pelicans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those two teams?
Yeah. And it really...
Is it close?
Not really. Portland is a... heavy leader there for team I would not want to face. Just like, look, obviously the Pelicans are crazy talented, right?
Yeah.
And you've got this guy who is looking like a superstar, like very young. They're just too young, I think, to win a series barring injury against a team like the Lakers that has such an advantage from an experiential standpoint, from a knowledge and understanding of the game. It's not talent, it's not skill that the Pelicans are lacking. It's experience and kind of more. I mean, you know, guys like Redick and Holiday and Favors help for sure from a, you know. But their guys, B.I. and Zion, like the guys that you need to lead you to victory, have never done it before. And it's just hard to imagine a team of kids beating a team of LeBron and Anthony Davis, right? There's just too much experience, of a difference there. I could see them winning a game or even two, mm-hmm. Although they didn't do that during the regular season. But even then, I think that's probably their ceiling in that series. Whereas Dame scares me, Dame has been through enough of it, and he's the best player currently right now of any of the guys in that range that you're talking about. So they're the team that scares me the most, especially with Avery down. Our perimeter defense, what's our perimeter defense now? Like, I think we're okay, but Dame and CJ could be problematic. I think Lakers beat any of them, but for the sake of argument.
Yeah, I'm not particularly concerned per se with any of the teams there. I would maybe for the sake of argument, I would switch the Pelicans and Blazers. I'm really not worried about the Blazers. I think the Lakers are actually decently situated to be able to guard Dame, or at least contain him, or at the very least make it so that it's just Dame going off and it's not anybody else, which is generally how you want to play against a team like Portland.
Sure.
One or the other, basically. And the Pelicans make me a little nervous because it's a lot of length, and Zion, I really feel like Zion is the kind of, remember how Moses Malone would give Kareem issues just for having like a center of gravity that was underground, he was like impossible to move, it feels a bit. Now, obviously Moses and Kareem were deep enough into both of their careers where I think right now AD is still far and away more than prepared enough to deal with the Zion. But like if just something weird was to happen, which is probably going to happen out there in this bubble, and you were to ask me like which of those three teams do I feel like could rip off maybe one or two wins, I actually see the Pelicans as more capable of winning that second game than the other teams.
Yeah, I could see that. If we're talking year three Zion and year six BI, like this Pelicans squad in a couple of seasons, I think that they'd be much more equipped to do that. If they weren't kids, I would strongly agree with you. I just think that that's a tall task to ask of them.
I don't think to be clear though, I don't think any of these, like a series between the Lakers and any of these teams, goes further than five games.
I agree.
I don't think the Lakers, look, in this circumstance, what you cannot have are extra games. you know, mm-hmm. extra unnecessary games, because those extra games add all kinds of variables in terms of health, in terms of weird shooting nights, whatever. I think, especially in this first round, both the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, like that first round is probably going to be a bit of a snoozer, because a lot of the teams that have their sights set on bigger things are really going to be focused on short series as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the second round and the teams that the Lakers might be looking at in that spot. Again, we could get all the way to the conference finals, but we've talked about the Clippers plenty,
sure.
You know, but the first and second round, the second round especially, I think is where you might start to see some preference in terms of teams that I would rather play than okay. others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as things are currently slated, the Lakers would play the winner of the Utah Jazz and Oklahoma City Thunder. So just between those two teams, who would you rather see win that series?
Utah. I would rather play Utah than OKC.
Hmm.
But it's not a massive difference there. It's just kind of like a Chris Paul versus Donovan Mitchell, even though mm-hmm. Mitchell's phenomenal, right? I think the Lakers' length. I've generally liked how the Lakers defended Mitchell. OKC has not been able to guard us particularly well. We've put up a lot of points against them, but they've also had good games, although we had that one game where I think we set LeBron and AD, I think, and we still won. Kuz went off that. Mm-hmm. It seems like 100 years ago with everything that's happened, but that was actually one of the more fun games. Rondo was like went nuts in the first half, I think it was. That was a fun game. But yeah, again, between those two teams, actually there's... If we get that matchup, I will feel better than if a certain team in the sixth seed is mm-hmm. able to get to that.
That was my next question, was because you have a grouping of four teams all at either 40 or 41 wins right now. Mm-hmm. And that's the Utah Jazz, OKC Thunder, Houston Rockets, and Dallas Mavericks. Now, the one thing to keep in mind here is that Eric Gordon just got hurt, sprained his ankle, turned his ankle and was like helped off the court, wasn't able to put any weight on his foot. But let's say they're healthy. Let's say by the time the Lakers play them in the second round, or if the Lakers were to play them in the second round, I'm guessing you feel the most iffy on the Rockets.
Yeah, they're a strange team. They're taking the small ball idea to different. So there's no
yeah.
historical precedent on, oh, Lakers will do this against this type of team. They beat us mm-hmm. on our home court. Last time that we played, we could not guard Russell Westbrook. And I think our perimeter defense is probably worse than it was. It's one of the few attributes on the team that I think we're worse at than we were before all of this went down. So there, and yeah, just that. And we've got a lot of bigs where they're just going to stretch us five out. I think the way to beat them, mind you, I think we would beat them in a seven-game series. Mm-hmm. I just think they pose more problems than other teams do.
A lot more variance to what they're capable of.
That's right. And if we're not closing out to the three-point line, which we can be guilty of, especially our bigs can be a step slow or use some kind of, you know, poor fundamentals on their first step on that closeout. Yeah, who knows, right? Between that and Westbrook plowing through people, I was saying this on Twitter a couple weeks ago, if it's the last 4 minutes of a playoff game against Houston, I actually think I put Anthony Davis on Russell Westbrook and just live with the pull-up jumper.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, it's just such a wild, it's so
right.
Like I'm not laughing at your point. Cause I uh-huh. probably,
no, agree. I understand. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just fucking bananas that the Lakers have a guy like 7 feet tall who you would choose to go guard. Like not like
in the most important match.
Okay. Right. No, you go get that guy.
Yeah, like that's your guy. Westbrook was putting his shoulder in the chest of yeah. Caruso. Same thing with Kuz when we tried to, with a little more length. You know, we could put Danny on him. Danny would do a good job, but Danny does a good job on Harden, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh yeah, James Harden's the other guy you need to yeah. defend, right? So that if I needed to stop, that would actually be the direction I would go, and you live with the results. All right, that's Charlie. He's it's been a minute since he's
nervous.
On the show.
Nervous about Russ. You know, they're you know,
yeah.
The
yeah.
No, but I will. So, you know, the players that we're talking about here are the two players that we've brought up to this point have been Dame Lillard and Russell Westbrook, right? And while I think the vast majority of people probably consider Dame a better player right now, for the sake of the matchup between the Lakers and whatever team we're talking, those two teams that we're talking about here, Russ scares me a hell of a lot more than Dame does. Because
yeah,
Dame's a smaller guard. Like smaller guards, you can blitz mm-hmm. them, you can be more physical with them in the postseason. Like that's what Steph runs into in the finals, right? is they agree. That like in those settings, in playoff settings, you're looking at referees just kind of saying, yeah, I mean, some hand checking is actually going to fly. You know, some of that contact is actually going to be okay. Russ is fine with that, though. Russ is like, okay, sure. You want to get physical? Fine. Let's scrap a little bit. And that's why, you know, Clippers aside, teams that are not the Clippers, the Rockets actually make me the most nervous of anybody. So it's like, for me, it's Milwaukee, Clippers, Rockets because of the variance thing. And then also because like one of the things you and I have talked about a lot is strategies that are going to work in the bubble, right? And you have, you know, simplistic styles that, you know, matchup hunt, and then you have isolation plays. And that's basically, I think, mostly going to win the day in Orlando. And that's all Houston does is they spread you out like crazy. And then either Russ or Harden either picks apart the person guarding them to score themselves or to open something up for somebody on the 3-point line. And like if the Rockets hit their steam and you only need to win 4 of those 7 games, they make me more nervous than Denver, Utah, OKC, Dallas, everybody.
Yeah,
by quite a sure. bit, I think too.
And they've got a ton of experience, right? Like these are all guys that have basically just lost to the Warriors, to an all-time mm-hmm. great team in the playoffs. They didn't have the best regular season, but I think the Capella trade made them better because, like every other lineup except for the one with Capella and Westbrook and Harden, was just scoring a crazy amount of points. I'd love to see what they look like being zoned up for a series. I'd love to see us. We tried to beat them through the post, I thought, too much the last time. And yeah. I think it's more aerial attack, more of them lobs, more of them.
Completely agree.
Like absolutely. Throw the ball in the air and let PJ Tucker try to beat JaVale or Anthony Davis to a ball that's 12 feet in the air and see who comes down with
right. Who can get to the penthouse? Between
that's right.
PJ Tucker and those guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that goes for all of their guys. No disrespect to them. It just, I think that's the way to be big in a series against them. But I agree with you that they make me the most nervous.
The last hypothetical I kind of want to take you through here. So the Denver Nuggets are sitting at 22 losses. And if they were to slide down to either the 4 or the 5 spot, why am I so confident against Denver? Like why, like I shouldn't be. They're a pretty good team, but I don't know what it is.
No, we're a bad matchup for them.
Yeah.
They're a really, really good team. This is no disrespect to the Nuggets,
yeah.
But athletically they don't hang. We exceed a certain athletic breaking point for them. Like Paul Millsap is 35, right? Mm-hmm. And Jokic is not an athlete, right? He's a brilliant player, but the athleticism, Jamal Murray is not an athlete for his position. It's why guys like Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol are so extraordinarily important for them, not just this year, but in their future, is because you need some guys that just like, oh, I can't guard that physically. You know,
yeah, just nobody ever tell Michael Malone because for some reason he just refuses to play MPJ.
Well, MPJ is a kid and doesn't entirely know what he's doing yet, as most kids don't. But mm-hmm. I get it from Malone's point of view, but they are going to need him desperately over the course of, you know, the future. They need him to become a real player because you need at least one guy who can handle the ball too, that mm-hmm. That can beat you athletically. And I just think that the combination in the front court specifically of AD and JaVale and Dwight, and by the way, LeBron James, there's so much physical, like, that's their weakness, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. they're just styles make fights sometimes. And I think we're a really bad matchup for Denver. We'll see, but that's what I've seen on tape.
Yeah, I tend to mostly agree. It's weird to me, not just like in a normal season, to not fear a three seed at all, you know, but especially now coming off of the last 7 years of Lakers basketball, to where like on a nightly basis, it was like, God, I don't know if we can beat those guys. Maybe we'll catch those guys sleeping, you know, but now that the Lakers are as good as they are this year, getting back acclimated to, oh yeah, the three seed Denver Nuggets are a terrible matchup for the Lakers. The four seed Utah Jazz are probably also a pretty bad matchup for the Lakers, you know, and you go on down and then eventually it's not even bad matchups. It's like, no, the Lakers are just straight up better than
Dallas. It's a different tier of Memphis. Team. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is fun though. I know for a lot of people and for, you know, a lot of the eyes are going to be focused, rightly so, on the Clippers and the Bucks, but the Lakers have to get through two series to get there, you know. And and as we get through this bubble, I think one thing to keep an eye on here is, all right, which teams would we like to see fall into certain slots, right? So, you know, is there any way to keep the Rockets, like, make sure they stay in that six or seven spot? Like, please just, you know, hang there so that if the Lakers see them, it won't be until after they get rid of the Clippers. Right.
Yeah. Let them play the Clippers and let them fight amongst themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is there any way for, say, the Thunder to leapfrog Utah and even Denver so that the Lakers might see Denver in the second round? Like, all of these things to me is what Lakers fans should frankly be focused on over the next couple weeks, right? As we get ready for the playoffs, because, you know, obviously we're going to be watching the Lakers and seeing how certain things come along. But as we are getting back used to playoff basketball, these matchups and the road to those conference finals and then eventually the finals, the easier that is and the harder other trips are to those series, the better situated the Lakers are. So
absolutely.
We'll see how this goes though. It's going to be interesting. Pete, congratulations again on the Laker video. It's great. You guys should all go check that out. I have a big announcement for myself. I had cauliflower rice for the first time and actually I liked it. I was pretty excited. I had to put a heaping helping of hot sauce on it because it's just cauliflower. But
yeah, it's like a vehicle for other flavors.
You know, exactly. Does its job. Yeah, you got to make sure you have plenty of sauce on that stuff because otherwise it feels like you're just mashing up cardboard.
Right.
Anywho, that's going to do it though for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with a guest and then back in getting ready for, we have a Lakers game in 2 days or by the time you guys are listening to this, a day. So
yeah, next time I'm on the show, we'll be talking about the Clippers game.
Exactly. So stay safe out there, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.